Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back. We're in the middle of a very interesting topic that we want to get, you know, more in, yeah, into. A fascinating one. We were talking about witchcraft, should we say? That's the word used in the Torah, machashef alay sechaya, which literally meant that the one who practices the witchcraft should be put to death, right? The witch, to be exact, should be put to death. And that, based on that, we also read some other psukim, which is in Chumash, later on in Chumash Devarim, which was even more extensive, because there it was talking about when you enter the land of Israel, because that's where you're going to face all these different types of witchcraft and divination and all different types of things that we are not allowed to engage in and what we're supposed to do. So last week we did a few things, and then we were in the middle of this booklet on page 5. So turn to page 5 in this booklet. Everybody has the right one. I see maybe there was some of the wrong good morning mixed in. But we were in the middle, and we were talking, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, the background, what's wrong with it, what is it, how does it work. From what we've seen so far, according to the Sefer HaChinuch's view, there is some substance to this magic, right? That's what he seems to be saying. They have some substance. He doesn't call it necessarily magic, but there is, in the way that Hashem created the world, that he did give some vested power into some middle agents which can be tampered with. And that was the idea of the magic. So I just want to read a little bit more. What I'm going to do is, we're on page 5, but let me just read you from page 4, drop in the English, just to quickly to review. On the bottom of page 4, you see, now the substance of sorcery to my mind is this. At the beginning of, no, I know we read this, I just quickly do it in English so we review and then we continue. At the beginning of creation, the eternal, so Hashem set for every single thing amongst the entities of the world a certain nature to fulfill its good and proper function for the good of the humankind that he created, as we said. Things were meant to be productive, meant to cause good. Then, he says, and he ordered each entity to fulfill its function according to its species. That was another thing. Things should be divided according to its species. Good morning, good morning. To its species. And therefore, he said like this, after, as we say, according as it is written in this, in Sidur Bereishis, after its kind, in regard to the created organisms. Furthermore, over each and every one, he set a ruling force above. And that's what we said, to impel it to its task. So there's something right above, in whatever sphere you want to call it, in the spiritual sphere a little bit, but it's still, that's what's more control. It's not God himself. That's what's controlling, if you want to say, all the physical and everything that it should run and operate the right way. As the sages of blessed memory said, you will find not a blade of grass below which does not have a celestial being above that bids it grow. Okay. But apart from their regular functions, with which each and every organism does by its nature, they have another way of functioning. When one species among them is mingled with another species, in the process of this mingling, there are certain aspects, ways which human beings are not permitted to utilize, since Hashem knows that the end of the matter, which will result for humanity through these aspects or ways, will be harmful. And that's what we said last time. Sometimes mixing things up that shouldn't be causes negative things, negative energies, negative things to happen. And that's why Hashem specified this should, like we said, the meat should be with the meat, the milk with the milk, or whatever it may be, this animal with this animal, that animal with that animal, and we shouldn't mix it up together. And for this reason, he withheld them from them. Now, in this vein, and this is where we had another interesting thing, because as we said last time, we're not going to go into depth, but there's the concept that we do now with medicine and with healing, that people do mix certain things, and that's what's created certain healing. Is that permissible? So whatever contains a purpose of healing is not considered of the ways of the Amorites. In other words, it is not to be forbidden because of an aspect of sorcery in it, since there is a useful benefit in it. Truly found by experience, this is not one of the forbidden ways of mingling species, for they are forbidden only on account of the harm in them. And this is, as we said, halachically, obviously each case has to be evaluated, but nevertheless, the general principle is if you're trying to harm, you're in trouble. Then you definitely are not allowed to engage. But if you are trying to build and trying to help and trying to assist, trying to heal, then you are permitted to mix into things which are not the way, exactly the way they were originally created. Okay, that's what we said that might have come under sorcery, and that's why he's mentioning it. Then we're going to go back, and then he says, moreover, as we say, and then I'm going to read the Hebrew in a minute, in those forbidden ways of mingling and devising, there is the power to form something new, and on that account, they were forbidden. Because the powers of that mingling rises up so strongly that it temporarily nullifies the force of the celestial being appointed over the two species. And this is very interesting, because we said that Hashem sort of had a malach, which was in charge of each of the species, right? Now, when you mix them, now that malach doesn't have that power anymore, because that's a new thing. So you're interfering with Hashem's spiritual realm. It's not Hashem's realm, it's a spiritual realm, but it's a realm that Hashem kept out of bounds. And now what we are doing is we are taking out the power from whom Hashem has given the power, so to speak. So it's like interfering, if you want to say, if you have a hierarchy, whatever it may be, in a school or in a government, and a lower minister interferes with what the higher minister says, and it's not his business. If you're in a certain position, you cannot interfere with the higher ones when they are deciding their, you know, when they are making their judgments, because they are above you. And now you're confusing, and there isn't. And as he says even more, what you're doing is, and he says very interesting, he says that it temporarily nullifies the force of the celestial being. And an analogy for this would be, as you see, that when someone grafts one species onto another different one, they create a third species, which is new. Then the result is that the grafting has nullified the power of both. And now, so it's interfering with Hashem's order. That's what it seems. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says, and that's where the problem lies. Okay, this is what Hashem wants.
But in what area does it, like when you bake it bread, you also...
Okay, so as we said, so that's for constructive purposes as well, right? That's what we said, and so that's not destructive, as well as that Hashem told us we should do. You see, that's where we have this, I know, it's interesting. It's an interesting thing, because you're right, there is a big question. I think I forgot, one of the people came to one of the Chachamim and said, he asked him, how come you're allowed to even heal? Or how come you're even allowed to go to a doctor, right? And this is the same idea. It's the same idea. So like we can say, okay, so let's, maybe we should just all be eating the wheat straight from the, you know, and not be interfering, so to speak. But no, this is much, much more than that. This is taking, first of all, as we said, main thing is for destructive, but even not just for destructive. But if it's two distinct, different species, which Hashem were said to keep separate, then we are not meant to mix them.
About boundary rather than mixing.
It is, in a sense. It is about boundaries. But the question is, because it's funny, because with us we have like milk and meat where we're not supposed to mix, and that's where we're taking away the boundaries of the milk and the meat, and yet other things we are permitted. So it's interesting to know how that really works and in what areas it works. Yeah. And even with meat and milk, that's only for somebody who's Jewish. Somebody who's not Jewish, that's not a problem for them, right? So it's an interesting...
Can this apply to Jew and
non-Jew? It can, yeah, well, yeah, okay, of course. It's anything that Hashem says to keep separate. Oh, definitely, oh boy. It's a problem, yeah. Any, as we say, there are domains, if you want, I don't know what the word is, but yeah, as you say, there are areas where Hashem has marked, you know, so to speak, this remains here, this remains there, don't mix them, don't make a whole, yeah, cholent, if you want to say, in certain things. Okay, but let's see how he goes on. So this is,
even
cholent's a problem, right? Okay, so let's see how he says, no, it's all good, let's see what he says. Okay, so I want to go back now, let me just see where it is in the Hebrew over here. Okay, if you look on, so on page 5, if you look all the way on the bottom, we're just going to read the bottom part. Should I see something? Okay, you know what, I'll just read, I don't know where it starts over here. I'll read you a little more in the English and then we'll continue in the Hebrew on the next page. Okay, so he says, therefore we were prohibited from even bringing to mind, much less doing with our hands, anything that will show any wish of ours to change anything in the whole perfect works of God. Perhaps it will come to hand from this a hint of the root purpose about mingling species of seeds. Now he's going to go into that later, okay, so it's its own halacha. We're not going to discuss that at length now. And species of animals and the wearing, as we know, of shatnis, right, the idea, mixing the wool and linen and all of that. in their proper places, we will write at greater length with the help of Hashem. Now, let's go now to on page 6, Vizehu. Do you see in the Hebrew? Okay. Vizehu sha'amru zichreinam levrocha. This is what our rabbis teach us. Lama nikra shmam kshafim. Why are they called, why is it called kshafim in Hebrew? Machashefa is the witch. Kshafim, kishuf is the magic, the sorcery. Shemachachishin pamalya shelmaila vishelmata. In English, they translate as contradict, but it's also that they are confusing the higher realms, the angelic realms, and of above and below. So they are blurring the lines. Kleimer shekaychan oile lefisha yoiser mikayach hamemunim aleihem. What they're doing is they are, their force is rising higher than the one that was made in charge of them. So they are interfering in the ruling parts, which should be ruling over them. Instead, they are taking charge and they are switching things. Big problem. Okay, mixing where they're not meant to be. Okay, let's see what he says. V'loi amru gzeiras maila lefi shashem baruchu gzoroi v'rotza mitchilas habriya liyais hapu'ula hazois yoytzeis mibein shneihem behis arvasam. It's interesting, because obviously no human being has the power to affect anything that of Hashem. And Hashem already put this into them to begin with. In other words, Hashem already decided initially that if you're going to start confusing them, this is going to be the result. But he doesn't want us to do it. So it's not that we have, it's not that Hashem is afraid. It's not that we have any power over Hashem, obviously. But what we are doing is we are mixing into the way, the order by which Hashem wants the world to run. We don't know why, but that's what he wants. So that's the idea here. So it's mixing into the higher realms, which he has set certain orders, and he doesn't want us to go there. Okay, so that's...
So
not necessarily. That's what he's saying, in anything. In anything.
Yesterday, he spoke about the
research. Yes, so that's what we're saying. So medicine, as we said, has its own, as he said, because it's for the benefit of humankind, that's what we're permitted. That's why, you know, that's what I say, Leah, the research is a big question. It's a question. And you have to know exactly what you're permitted to engage in and what you're not permitted to engage in. And if it's, that's right, that's right. So that's why there's all, in Israel, there's lots of rabbanim that deal specifically with all of these shilas. So big, extensive, to understand the depth and, yeah, and how to go about it the best way. But the main thrust, as we said, if it's for the benefit, Hashem wants us. That's the area where Hashem has put, in a sense almost, the human mind and the human being as one of the angels. In a certain sense, where we are permitted to play around with that part of nature. That has been given over to us, l'sakein, to fix. As we say, l'asais, right? That's where he left incomplete for us. So it's an interesting, yeah. But I have to be very careful nevertheless. Okay. I just want to see... now let me just... Because he goes on and he explains very beautifully. Let me just see something.
It's interesting that Hashem still very much wants healing to be in our hands.
Healing to be in our hands. As opposed to what, Lisa? As
healing that up to him.
Him. Yeah, it's a very interesting. So we once did it. We had a whole thing about that, about the if a doctor is permitted. But just last term, the idea about going to doctors, because that was a question. Actually, are we permitted to go to a doctor? Maybe we, like you say, just if Hashem, you know, let it all unfold naturally, as we say. So the truth is that, first of all, for sure, the consensus is that we are permitted, and not only permitted, but we have to go to doctors, but. There is a thing, as we said, on the flip side of it, where the greatest tzaddikim, they didn't have to go because they had such incredible trust and they were so in touch with Hashem. They were able to leave their life totally in the hands of Hashem, but that's only for specific, exclusive tzaddikim who can actually live like that. We are not even permitted to engage in that type of behavior. That's what it actually says. Because it's not just that we are permitted, but we become, because of that, it becomes something that we have to do, and it's part of the mitzvah of guarding ourselves, right, of nishmartim. So it's an interesting thing, because it is a big question, Lisa. It's a very big question. How come we are permitted to mix into Hashem's plans, almost, like, in a sense? Yeah, and we did that last term in depth. It was a fascinating... Yeah, and you're right, it's not clear-cut, because then comes all the big questions, all the gray areas, right, and how far you have to go, and, you know, so it's, yes. Yeah, it's big questions. Okay, so just, yes, sorry, no problem.
Another thing, and what I
spiritual healers?
Yeah, it's a good question.
In other words, we mustn't go to them.
No, definitely. No, spiritual healers are not for us, okay? We'll see you in a minute, Rona. No, don't worry. All good. That's right. We'll see. Yes. Yes. Okay, well, we'll see in a minute. There's something very fascinating about that, Rona. We'll see in a second. I just want to continue over here a little bit more. There was something very beautiful that we were coming to. I think it was maybe even on page 7. It's a bit long, this, but to just say a little more, we'll read inside, as he says. It's still on page 6 in the middle. Umisha kirva sikhlai b'or p'nei melech v'kayach schusa yalal kayach hamemunim lo yira hamaisa hazeh v'hachach hasheisav. Now, it's an interesting thing. He says that anybody... It's very interesting how they translate in English, but anybody who has intelligence, and what we mean by not just intelligence, but our intelligence is close to Hashem, anybody who fears Hashem, which means any of us who follow a different code of life, right? Know that we have a Torah, know that we have prophets or had prophets for sure and have what they wrote, know that we have guidance in how we should live our life, and know that Hashem runs our life. So we should not be afraid of any of this. Because even if it does have some substance, it will not affect us. And that's a very important thing that we have to realize. This is interesting, because this comes to any of these magic, or any kind of person who's going to pronounce anything and say, I see in your stars that this is going to happen to you. And even if they are able to, I don't know if nowadays, but even if they are, the one other thing that comes into this, and people sometimes don't realize, is if somebody utters like a curse, right? Somebody curses you, God forbid, or says something very bad should happen to you. Let's say they're angry at you. We should know that as a Jew, we should not worry, even though the truth is that our words do have effect, okay? We can't say it doesn't. However, if we feel that we are under Hashem's guidance, and we're doing the right thing. We're not talking if we've hurt somebody, but we're talking if we're going about things the right way. We have to totally block that out and feel that that will not have an effect. Because those words have an effect in the lower realms, not by God himself, right? Hashem obviously is above all of it. And we are directly under Hashem's jurisdiction, nothing else and nobody else. Not another human being and not an angel on top of that human being. And that's a very important thing, as he says. Because we're not going to be afraid. That's the most important thing, is that we should not fear, and we should not fear whether it's power, and it's power that it can change things, as we say. And we have stories, as we read in the Gemara, where they said to the magician, what are you talking about? It's nonsense. Or they can actually contradict what the magician said, the sorcerer said, and they weren't afraid that it's going to affect them negatively. And so we read that last time. So I want to show you, let's just see something. It could. So again, we shouldn't say it. Okay, so we have to be careful. But if somebody does, we shouldn't worry. Because we should just... Hashem, it does, you're right. But Hashem ultimately has the greatest power. So the power that it has actually is an interesting one. The power that it has is that it has the power to create a negative energy whereby it can make it pull us to perhaps do something wrong. That's what it says. But we're still not forced. We're not compelled. So in other words, we could be a little bit more on guard and be more careful on how we're going to act and what we're going to say and how we're going to respond.
Can we just think about it?
We shouldn't. That's what it says, Rose. We shouldn't think about it. Actually, interesting that you asked that, because actually mentions that somewhere about not even thinking about it. I think the Ramban says, not even putting our mind there. No emotional energy at all should be put at all into any of these things, because that shows that we are a little bit afraid and we feel vulnerable. We're not. So that's an important thing to remember, just in the positive way to take it, keep our guard. I wanted to go to page 7. I want to show you, because he goes on and he says something else very nice also. And this is another interesting thing. Let me just see if this is... Okay, so in page number 7... sorry, because I was not sure which one. This, like I said, it's quite long. Okay, so page 7, so it's similar to what we said before. I just want to show you again that it says that, I'll just show you in the English, on the English side, he says, now whoever is a judge about this needs to know, the field of sorcery, so that he should know to discern about the act that was done. If it was one of the varieties of sorcery, or if it was perhaps one of the things done by the force of nature and in ways that are permissible, in accord with what the sages of blessed memory said, whatever comes under the heading of healing does not come under the heading of the ways of the Amorites. That's a very, as we said, because when the judge is going to judge somebody who practices these things and they can be put to death, obviously you have to know, is this magic or is this permissible? And it's very, very important to know what is permissible and what is not permissible. Okay, and now, let me just see. Yes, let me go now on the bottom. We have on page number 7 on the bottom. So the number 7 on the bottom talks about employing charms. Okay, so what's employing charms? This is an interesting thing that they used to do, that they used to actually say something and they would think that their words had a tremendous effect. Like, and for example, as he gives over here, okay, so he says like this, they tell people that those words help, like he says, okay, this refers to a man who will say words, then tell people that those words helped or caused harm in any particular manner. So he gives an example. In the language of the Medrash, he says, it is all one, whether a person casts a charm on a snake or casts a charm on a scorpion. In other words, what does he do? He says words over them so that they will not bite him, according to his opinion. Or he says words over the wound so that he should be relieved of the pain. So these are like magic words that people had, that they used to chant and say, and they thought that those words itself had power to either prevent harm, protect him, or cause harm, whatever it may be. That's not permissible, right? Okay, so this leads to something very, very fascinating. I want to show you. Look on the bottom. In the English, it says, okay, it's really the next page, the Hebrew. I want to read this in the Hebrew, but she says, look, now perhaps, my son, you might pose a question. Let's go on the next page. On page 8, I want to show you. V'ulai b'ni taksha alai b'ha d'gar sinan b'shvus. This is page 8. You might ask a question about something that's written in the Gemara, in the Talmud, in the Tractate of Shvuas, and it's called Yedias HaTuma, Knowledge of the Impurities. And what does it say there? Shir shel pigoyim b'kinoyreis u'b'nivolim. They call it a shir, a song, which is referring to a chapter in Tehillim. This is a fascinating thing that people used to say, and in order for what? To protect. We all say, right? You know, we say we put the shir hamalis by the baby. Why is that allowed? Isn't that the same as what we just said? Chanting words, and it's going to cause protection. So what if it's holy words? But if we believe the words themselves are providing the protection, isn't that the same thing? Why is that permissible? Right? We all sit, say Tehillim all day, and we say, oh, we should, you know, it should cause protection to bring... What is it? How does that work? Is it not the same? So let's see how it says very beautifully. And we know the one of the famous prokim, it's Tzadik Aleph 91, as they say here. It says, Yoshev b'seser elyon, the one who shelters on high. And it says, Ki ata Hashem machzi, right? You Hashem are my protection. And Hashem ma rabu tzorai, my enemies are so many, right? And Hashem HaYeshua, you are my salvation. And you say it, hoping Hashem will protect us. As he says, Uperish Begoyim Kleimer Shamiris Elam is Mayrim Toya Lishmar Min Hanazikin. You say it at night. Some people have a thing, and we say it as part of the Kriya Shema Shel Amitzah before you go to sleep, that you should be protected from any of the negative things that might come and harm you. So he says, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he used to say it every night before he would go to sleep. But it's nothing like this charmer. Why? Chas v'shalom to even say. Ukvar amru zichreinim levracha al zeh. Osur lehisrapais bedivrei Torah. They have a very interesting terminology. It's forbidden to heal yourself with words of Torah. What does that mean? We all think we're going to heal ourselves with words of Torah and Tehillim and everything. Okay, what does it mean? So he says, because what are we really then? It's important for us to be aware of this, actually. When we say Tehillim, and when we learn Torah to cause protection or healing or whatever, all the benefits that we hope to get from it, what's our mindset supposed to be? So let's see how he says. He says, Sheyesh bahem dvarim ye'oiru, this is, aval, hiskiru loymar, mizmoirim elu. We have been told to say these songs, these tillim, whatever it may be, sheyesh bahem devarim ya'iriru nefesh hayoideya oisam, because they are there to inspire, to uplift, to awaken our neshama with the words that we are saying. So now you might say, but I don't
understand.
It doesn't matter, both. Leah, both. It could be both. But the point is, you're not thinking that the words themselves are magic words. They're not meaningless things that you're chanting, and that's what's going to cause. The words are there to inspire. And what do they inspire you right away to realize? That Hashem is in control. It's Hashem who I'm turning my heart to. That's why almost all the psukim have Hashem in them, or an allusion to Hashem. It's not the words, and it's not even you. And that's something very important to remember. It's not you saying the tehillim that brings about the salvation. No. It's you saying the tehillim which arouses you to come closer to Hashem, and hopefully maybe arouses the other person and brings more shechina in the world. Yeah, that's 100%. But it's not the words. And that's very, very important, because otherwise it would be borderline on the same idea as these charmers. That's a very fascinating thing. So he says, Lachles b'shem, as we say, to trust in Hashem, lahasim by kol miftachai, to put all our trust in Hashem, v'lekboya bilvava yir asai, right, and to implant in our hearts the fear, v'lismoich al chastai v'tuvai, and to rely on His kindness, on His goodness, because of our awakening, our inspiration, that's what causes the protection. The protection is because we've come closer to Hashem. And when we're in Hashem's presence, we're protected. So that's a very important difference. That's everything about davening. It's not that these are magic words. Yes, they are. It's true, because they inspire us. But it's not the words as the raw words. It's what they're accomplishing and what they do. And that's why it's important for us, first of all, to realize that, to think about that. So to think about what we're saying, in a sense, almost. But if we don't know the exact meaning, that's also okay, because they're holy words. That's fine. But our mindset should be that these are words that are talking about Hashem's presence being close, and we're coming closer to Hashem, and uplifting us, and motivating us to do good. And that's the idea. That's a very important thing to remember. Very, very. As he says, a very beautiful concept. And that's what he says, that's what the Gemara says. V'heichi Avad Rabbi Yeshua came. So how could Rabbi Yeshua do this? So he says, Asur l'hisrapais b'divrei Torah, right? You're forbidden to get healed just with words of Torah. V'amru l'hagen shani klaimer loyos v'torah sh'yemer adam divrei Torah l'airer nafshai l'taiva. You're not forbidden to say divrei Torah in order to awaken your neshama to do good. So that this merit should shield him. That's not forbidden. It's only forbidden if you use it as magic words. And that's something that we do have to be careful about. Okay, so it's just a fascinating idea. So people could ask that question if that's the same thing, as we say. Not forbidden. Okay, so it's true. We do say tillim. It's a funny terminology, so we don't learn tillim. It's true. I mean, we do. We do also, but we don't have to. We can also just say it. And the truth is that the power of the words of tillim are tremendous. But what is it? The tillim awakens you. It's David. When you think David HaMelech had such an incredible, I mean, when you learn about David's life and his, he put into those words that it will awaken you. It will bring you closer to Hashem. It will make you feel trust in Hashem. And that's the idea. Yeah. Even if you don't know the exact meanings of every word, that's okay. But there is power in the saying. But the saying, as far as what does the saying represent to you? That you are saying the holy words of Hashem. And bringing Hashem's presence into the world and closer to you and you to Him. And that's the idea. So, yeah. it's a big one. I'm just thinking if this is the saying. Yeah. Okay, so just one more, sorry, I feel bad, I know it's a lot on this, but one more thing on this I want to read you out, I'll do here, because also very, these are all very important parts of the, sorry. So this part, also to say for a chinuch again, and it's on the next here, you can take this one, here you go. Did we pass, are these all the same? I'm just thinking, yeah, these are all the same, right? Yeah, pass down, you have? Okay, so I wanted to show you something here. Now we come to the flip side of it. What's so terrible about engaging in these things, as we said? So what if we chant these things? Who cares? What's so bad if we do it? So he says something very interesting. This is a very important thing for us to realize. Also, it's the perspective as a Jew that we have on this concept. So do you have one? I don't know if I've given enough. Here, there's one more here. I'll find mine here. Yeah, I have. I do. Okay, so if you look on these sheets that you have in front, let's see, no numbers, right? Does it say 93 on the bottom?
Yeah,
beautiful. So I want to just show you, 92 and 93, So here he's going to discuss what's so terrible. So let's see over here. The omnam hu megune, it's a very strong language. It's very despicable. What's despicable? Kol ha-kaveya machshevoysa v'moytzi itav b'havolim eile. Very strong language. Somebody who wastes their time in this nonsense. Kil asher chananoy akel deya. Because Hashem has kindly, graciously given us understanding and a depth. And not only that, but we are so fortunate. Our heritage is a rich Torah. We don't need any of this stuff. This stuff is empty nonsense in any, I can't even say compared, in any realm, so to speak, when you talk about what we have. We have truth, as we say. It doesn't make sense. It's not becoming, and it's not appropriate for a person like us to involve themselves and even think, as we say, Rose, about these nonsense, as we say. Rather, what should he focus on? To serve Hashem. The main thing, do not be afraid of the words of any of these people. Ki Hashem b'chasadav yishane mareches ha-kaychavim v'yevatel koyach ha-mazolis. Because even if they're right, and even if they do see something that's destined to happen to you, because of the natural order of things, and that's what's going to happen, and they could actually see it. Nevertheless, God is above it, and he can change it for your favor. You have nothing to worry about. Do not listen, do not expend any emotional energy on what they're saying. Nothing. Do not be afraid. And then he says, and as he says, he can change everything, lehetiv, to do good, lechasidav, to those of us who trust in him, to those of us who are his, the ones he loves and the ones he does chesed to. V'yadua she'anachnu am ha-kaydesh. We are the holy nation. She'einonu tachas koycha v'mazel. We are not under the jurisdiction of stars and constellations. Hashem hu nachalaseinu. He, Hashem himself, he is our portion. Kasha dibra eleinu, right? He's our inheritance, like he spoke to us. Uki inyan shematzinu ba'avais. And he goes here into length to show us that the forefathers were already given this. And we know. What is Yaakov called? Yisrael. What does Yisrael mean? That he fought with the angels and he overcame. Kisarisa imelekim vatuchal, right? He overcame, which means he overcame all the constellations. And we know that it says that by Yaakov. It says Yitzchak was also called Yisrael, and even Avraham, it says, interesting, but also Avraham, Tzei, tells him to go out. Go out from your constellations. You are not under the jurisdiction. In other words, they do exist, but they do not have power over you. And that's something that we as Jews have to internalize very, very deeply. Very important. That's what he says here at length. I want to go to the next page. Since we're all them, the children of them, so that's why we shouldn't worry at all. And therefore, he says, we shouldn't only serve Hashem, and that's why we see, not only aren't we under the constellations, but even more, and this is the beautiful thing, that we have the power to change the constellations. We don't even have to worry about what they're saying, but we can even change the natural order of things, as we know the famous thing, the Chayim Matzinu B'Yoshua. We find it by Yeshua. Shegozer al Hashemesh v'hayareyach lamaid. He could even order the sun and the moon to stand still, as he did. Shemesh begivayn daim, right? He told the Shemesh, the sun, and givayn, stop. And it stopped. So the sun, which is usually not under the jurisdiction of a human being, that's the truth. And it doesn't happen very often, this. But a Jew, when we need, can change the order of things. Now, you know, we started with Rona, you said miracles. The truth is, we might not see the sun stop, but if we would stop for a moment and think, we do see every single day. The fact that we're here, the only way we're here, is that the world for us doesn't run naturally. There's no question about it. Absolutely no question. Whether it be the way governments run, whether it be the fact that Israel is still here, every single moment, every single day, the fact that we're alive and that we're living and that we're here and breathing goes against everything that nature dictates for any species that it should continue. Because everything that's against us constantly is so strong, and if it would be running in the natural order of things, we would not be here. So that's how we can see that we shouldn't worry, we shouldn't think about it, we should only think about serving Hashem. That's what our primary thing is. So you can see from here what the Sefer HaChinuch here is showing us, and this is a very beautiful thing, very important part of this mitzvah, is that not only are we forbidden, quote unquote, to engage in it, but it should be embarrassing for us. It's like we're stooping to something so low. It would be like, I mean, it's a silly example, but it would be like somebody who got into university, into the top physics class, and instead decides to go to the fourth grade math class. I mean, what are they doing in the fourth grade math class when they could be hearing the top physics professor? What would you be doing? It's embarrassing for you. You wouldn't put yourself into that position. It would be shameful for you, and you would feel it's nonsense, even though the fourth grade math class is also important. It's not lies, but it's nothing to do with you. And that's what we're saying here. So don't engage. Don't even go there. It's an embarrassment for you. You have something much deeper and much greater. Now, as we said last time, I won't go, because really the Ramban goes also at length, very similar to the Sefer HaChinuch, and he also goes through how it works, but I just want to tell you at the end of the Ramban, he says something very beautiful, and he says that, again, similar to the Sefer HaChinuch, that us as Jews are much higher. What did Hashem give us? Hashem gave us prophets. Hashem gave us a Torah. Why should we think to go to these people who, even though they can see what happens perhaps in the near future, that's what he says, they have sometimes a little bit of power to see, but they can only see really what's in the immediate future. But why would you even want to go there? You have prophets. You have a Torah. You have a guide. And that tells you what to do, how you should behave, how you should respond. Why would you even want to go there? So according to the Ramban, like the Sefer HaChinuch, there is the way Hashem created the world. He has a whole thing that there's the order where there's God, then there's the Malachim, then there's the constellations, and then there's the physical realm. So there's a few, so to speak, steps in how things work in the natural order. That's how Hashem wants it to work. Us as Jews, we have direct to God. You know, we shouldn't go through all those different steps, and we shouldn't engage in those different steps. But it seems, according to the Ramban, and he actually makes a comment and he says that we can't knock it because, look, people have seen that there is some truth. That's what he says. You can even see that sometimes, you know, they actually are able to accomplish or to do certain things. So I can't say that it's total nonsense. That's what the Ramban says. However, for us as Jews, it's something we shouldn't even want to engage in beneath us, and we shouldn't worry and all of that. The Rambam, on the other hand, I should give this out because it's very important. This one, I will do a few lines inside, because the Rambam has a different view, a totally different view. So let me see if I can find my... It's just a one page. Let's see if I have it here. Okay, so maybe I have to take it here, and I don't know where it is now. My hand papers, I know I have the copy. Ah, here it is. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. Okay, here you go. So we'll just do the Rambam part, just on the bottom. I know, because it's, like I said, it's really quite long on it. So we'll pass down, Daisy, here. Take one and pass down. And I'll just show you quickly the Rambam. So on the bottom of the page, what is the Rambam? So Rambam talks about this, and he says, if you see where I bracketed, Kol Hamaimin, it's all the way on the bottom, Kol Hamaimin, anybody who believes, B'dvarim Ha'elu, in these things, Ukiyaitza Behen, and all the like, Umechashev b'libay shein emes, and thinks in his mind that they are truth, v'divrei chachma, and words of wisdom, aval ha-Taira asrasan, but the Taira forbids them. So he says, anybody who thinks that there is some truth to them, and that they are some wisdom, and I'm sorry, I want to tell you, but the Ramban actually said that there is some wisdom in it. He says, this is the wisdom of the non-Jews. This is their science. In those days, it was like a scientific kind of knowledge. This is their science, and this is wisdom for the peoples of the world. According to the Rambam, he says, anybody who believes that there's any substance, as we say, and that there's any wisdom in it, but what should we do? The Torah forbids it. Einon Ella min hasichlim. Very strong language. They're from the fools. Like you can see the rest. Umechasrei hadas. People who have no brains. Ubechlal. And this is okay. Let's 1200, so it's not politically correct. Hanoshim v'aktanim, and they fit in like with the woman and the children. It means people who are uneducated. That's the bottom line. People who are gullible. People who are, you are able to tell whatever you want and they will believe you. That's what the Rambam says. Those are the people who believe that all of this area has substance. It's nonsense, absolute nonsense, according to the Rambam. That's the very strong language that he uses here. And therefore, do not even think that it makes any sense, and just that Torah doesn't let you do it. As he says, she'ein dait and shleima, that their understanding is not complete. Aval balaya chachma, but somebody who has wisdom, v'tmimei hadas, yodu bereias bruras, we'll see with absolute clarity, right? And raya is like clear proof. Shekol elu hadvarim she'asra Torah, that all these things that Torah forbids, einam divrei chachma, they're not words of wisdom. Ela toyu vehevel, right? They're absolute nonsense. Shenimshuchu bahem hadvarim, shenimshuchu bahem chesrei hadas, that the ones who are drawn after them are people who have no knowledge, who have no understanding. Venotshu kol darchei ha'emes biglolan, and therefore they leave all the right, the truthful ways because of this nonsense. Umepneza amru toira, kishehizira al kol elu ha'avolim tomim. That's why the pasuk that follows is be complete with Hashem. And in this context, complete means be understanding, be wise. Don't be a fool. And don't allow yourself to be fooled by all of this nonsense. This is the Rambam's view. Now, the truth is the Rambam has interesting, because there are writings of the Rambam which seems to lean a little bit differently. So we're not really 100% sure, but it seems that according to the Rambam, and the truth is nowadays that does fit, most of this field of witchcraft and astrology and is nonsense. It doesn't, in other words, nonsense in the sense where the people who are practicing it really don't even know what they're doing. And they're not in touch with the higher force. There's no question. There's nothing. They don't have substance. So how we should view it is that it's nonsense and therefore nothing definitely to worry about. As we said, the Ramban didn't say that, and there is what to worry, but we are Jews, so we don't have to worry. Not only that, but we have something higher, and that's where we should engage and put our efforts. So it's very different views on this one interesting topic. We're going to leave this topic. There's a lot to... But it's yes, we can.
I think it's just a fun part to call it. It's in Bereshit, but Hashem says, I think to Abraham, you are not ruled by myself.
That's right, exactly right. It said, that's what it said to Abraham, say, go out. May it's Dagninus specifically from your constellation. So up until then he was being, yes, that's what it seems, and he had to leave it. And under that constellation, he couldn't have children. Now when he goes out, now he can have children, exactly.
Which gives power to the person.
Yes, it does. So it's an interesting thing how it works. So I guess what you might say according to the Rambam is more that most of the people that are engaging in those fields aren't, they're fraudsters. In other words, there might be truth, but they don't know it. You know, they're not experts in this field. Very few people are. That's what I think more you might say the Rambam is saying. In other words, most of the people engaging in the astral, and even now, for sure nowadays, but even in his time, are not people who know what they're talking about and don't have the power to change anything.
But it's similar to God creating the world with Yetzirah, because he didn't make it all good. He put stuff in there deliberately to make us...
Yeah, to confuse us. Good. It's true.
So I just see this as the
same idea. Yeah, it is. It's and okay. So then, as you're saying, Robin, also the truth is just to complete. Really, the topic really is, as we're saying, the truth is that there is two sides. I mean, in everything, Hashem created. There's a pasuk in Kehelis. Oh, how does it go? That zelu mazeh. That the whole world was created in a way with the balance to create free choice, as you say with the Yetzirah, right? And because of this balance, there's purity and impurity. And if there's purity in the world, then there's powers of impurity. So the truth is that they do have some type of power, if you want to say, the powers of impurity. As we said, however, nowadays, and I thought that was actually in a way the best, but the one that I found that I understood the most was, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when there was a lot of holiness revealed in the world, there was a lot of power to the impurity because there had to be that balance. Nowadays, God is very hidden, and it's difficult for us to access any sense of holiness and purity and feeling of revelation of godliness. It's not something that we access on a day-to-day basis, and it's not something that we feel very strongly. We can, but we have to work really hard on it. And in the same way, the impurity is a lot less as well. In other words, it's there, but you have to work really hard to access it and to access something which really does have some power. So in that sense, that's why nowadays you don't really have people, I mean, when they do say they're magicians, they're not. I mean, they're just whatever. Yeah, just playing games. However, you can see that there is something in it. There's no question. And that's why the Torah is very strong about getting rid of it, if you want to say, and not engaging in it. Because ultimately, as we saw, it takes you away from the trust in Hashem. And that's the goal of Torah, trusting and being close to Hashem. And that's really the main thing. And that's why, as we say with that pasuk, Tomim Tiyah, is that even us who don't engage in magic, right? Most of us, even if we would go to an astrologer or a palm reader, we would be laughing. We would say it's a joke, it's just for fun, right? But even us, we don't do necessarily somebody to read our palms, but we do in our own minds, and it's interesting how you're talking about, let's say, well, I am born with a certain, let's say, genetic tendency, but medically we can say that, or even psychologically, I am born with certain personality traits, and we decide that we are locked into certain things that will happen to us in the future. And some of us say, I'm born under the unlucky star, you know, I never have my, you know, we use those words in our minds. They are forbidden. We are not allowed to engage. That's the same idea. So any time that we lock ourselves into anything which is in the natural order, and therefore that's how things will progress for us, no. We're forbidden. There's a famous thing about even IQ. You know, if you want to take an IQ test, take an IQ test. Nowadays, okay, it's already become a bit, you know, they understand that doesn't work that way, but it doesn't matter. Let's say some people have a raw intelligence, which perhaps they might understand things a lot quicker and a lot deeper, and perhaps they can figure out, let's say, mathematical equations in a much better way. But we know, according to Torah, we are not locked at all into anything, and we have that proven. There are very great tzaddikim who apparently when they were younger didn't understand things very quickly at all, and worked and worked and worked and worked and became great Torah sages and understood things in a most incredible way. So that's what we truly believe as Jews, that we are not blocked. I know, so I don't know what to say. You know, like you go to a rabbi and they give you like something that you wear, you know, a pasuk perhaps. Yeah, it's like you have to. I guess the idea is that, like we said before, what you really have to believe is if it's a pasuk, that it's an inspiration to Hashem. If you believe that the actual physical object, that's a problem.
So
it is babam. I'm not the one to say. I think the red string. Yes, Ron. I know. To cave. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's a good business. Yeah, it's a good business. Give some money for tzedakah. I don't know. Yeah. That's it. That's what it is. I don't have the psukim. Okay, so by the time we get the Chumash, I wanted to just read to you. I'm sorry, I forgot to make the copy. I'll read you a pasuk, and I feel bad. And next week we'll do it inside. I'm so sorry, because then it moves on. The pasuk moves on, and now we go to the other thing. Okay, not to live with an animal. Okay, we're not. That's what the pasuk. And then I'm going to go to the next one. What's the next mitzvah? The ger loisoinen. This is a fascinating one, that you should not abuse a ger. Okay, so ger is literally a convert or a stranger. Okay. And actually it does double. What does that mean? And you shall not oppress him. So you shall not abuse and not oppress. And Rashi will tell us the difference. Why? And this one, for some reason, the Torah decides to give us a reason. We would think, it's obvious why. You're not supposed to oppress or abuse anybody. But the Torah says, Ki gerim hayisem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you were strangers in Egypt. It's a very interesting pasuk. And I want to just show you Rashi first of all. What is the difference between abusing, the word soine, abuse, which is toine with a soft, tough vav nun hey, toine. So he says, Ainaas dvarim. This is talking about verbal harassment. When you abuse verbally. Okay, because sometimes we might think that's not such a terrible thing. You know, if you say something not nice to them, it's actually forbidden, like badly. And loisel chatsenu, that's already talking about abuse physically. So let's see how he says. Let me just see something. Not physically. No, sorry. Bigzelas mamain, through robbery of his property. Okay, so one is with the mouth, just abusing him verbally. The other one is his property. Now, what's the thing that he says that you were geirim in Mitzrayim? What does that come in? We're going to develop it more next week. But this is a fascinating concept. Why do you have to give us a reason? And also, let's realize something else over here, that he's taking these geirim, in a sense, and he's adding something. Because the truth is, we are not permitted to oppress, to abuse anybody. What we're doing here is that we're making it a double prohibition. So if you do this to somebody who is a ger, you are violating double. One, that you're not allowed to do it to anybody, and two, that you're doing it to a ger. So it just makes it much harsher and much stronger. And obviously, that you should be more careful. Why? Why do we need that extra prohibition? So Rashi says something interesting. Ki geirim hayisem, im ha'inesa, if you abuse him, afhu yachol lahaynoscha, he too can abuse you. What can he say? V'lo yimar lachan, he can say to you, af atam magrim basa, you also came from strangers. He can answer you right back. Who do you think you are that you're saying that to me? You're in the same boat as me. Ultimately, you also come from nowhere, right? You're also strangers. As we always laugh, you know, people say somebody is a ger, but, you know, David HaMelech's grandmother was also a ger Rus. I mean, that's, you know, what are you saying? What does it mean? And he says a very powerful word. These are very famous words of Rashi. And as I said, we'll develop it next week. Mum, it's a very famous one. Mum shebecha al toimer lechavercha. And this is something that's a very interesting one. He says, do not accuse your friend of a flaw that you yourself have. What does that mean? Okay, so first of all, if you have a flaw, don't accuse your friend of having the same flaw. They might have it, but don't. But it goes the other way. When do you notice a flaw in your friend? When you have it, and only then, okay? That's when you see it. And we'll just talk about that next week. The Baal Shem Tov says that very, very strongly. And I just want to show you what Rashi says. Kol Lashon Ger, any use of the term Ger, Adam Shalei Noilad Ba'ayse Medina, a person who was not born in that country. Interesting. So in other words, it would be like an immigrant, as we would say nowadays. Elabami Medina Sacheres, comes from another country. That's a ger. Okay, so it could be a convert, could be a stranger. And the idea here, and the psukim continue and talk about, a widow and an orphan. The whole category here is people who are what we call vulnerable. Anybody who has a vulnerability, who is less, who doesn't have people to stand up for them. What is a ger? And we know what is an immigrant. It means usually that, first of all, they don't have the support system around them. They don't have the feeling of security of having been there for generations, so to speak. This is all together, it contributes to them being very vulnerable. And here the Torah says, when you have somebody vulnerable, human nature, Torah talks in human nature, is that we will tend, unfortunately, that's the bad side of human nature, we won't be as careful. We might not realize that we will take advantage of that vulnerability. We might not want to, but ultimately we do. You know where you see it? You see it even, and it's not, I don't know if it's such an idea, but with adults and children, right? You see an adult, hopefully we care, we're, you know, loving to children, but an adult sometimes feels they can talk to a child differently than they talk to another adult. We always say, would you, to our own children, would we talk like that to somebody else? Would you tell somebody else off the way we tell a child off? No. Why do we think we can do that to a child? Well, sometimes we think because we're responsible for them, right? But the truth is that the tone of voice sometimes is only because they're vulnerable. We wouldn't talk like that to somebody else because we're a little bit, not that we consciously, but subconsciously, we're afraid, not afraid, but we wouldn't do it. They could answer us right back, as we say. Or it's not just that, it's just that we wouldn't, we're their equals. anybody more vulnerable? I mean, unfortunately, you see all the stuff they do, like in the older, you know, in the homes where they, the carers, how they treat the people. And why do they do that? They're not bad. They don't set out to be bad. They're overworked, but why does it come out that way? Even if you're overworked, you wouldn't talk like that to somebody else, because they're vulnerable. There's nobody to stand up for them. And this is the Torah. So we'll see next week. I feel bad the time is not so. We could have done, and I didn't. I have the copies. By the time I give it to you, it'll be too late. But this is the strong thing that the Torah is showing us. So I'll just read you one more pasuk, so then next week we can go straight in. It says, Kol almana v'yosayim loisa anun. Again, do not persecute any widow or orphan. And then, this is really strong language, so if you do persecute, so if you torture, if you do anything in a way which causes them pain, what will happen? If they will cry out to me, I will surely hear their cries. Now Hashem hears anybody's cries. But here it's showing us again. You look at them that they're vulnerable. Why? Because in the physical realm, they don't have. Doesn't have a husband, doesn't have a father, doesn't have a mother, doesn't have whatever. Doesn't have a guardian. Doesn't have a physical protector. Doesn't have somebody to fall back on. Doesn't have somebody who's going to come say, how dare you have said that? Or that you have to be, yeah, you can be held accountable to. But what Hashem is telling us, you're forgetting the most important thing. I'm there. And I will hold you more accountable than if a human being was there to support them. So be extra careful. And that's what Hashem is, a fascinating thing. It's that awareness. It's that sensitivity and awareness. And what happens if we train ourselves with this, and we'll see the Sefer HaChinuch, it's about how we treat every other human being. And that's what, and what it does is, it makes us better people. It's sensitivity within us and the awareness of Hashem's constant presence. Because the truth is that the only way to keep ourselves in check. As human beings, it's the only way. So we'll see next week inside Emirat Hashem. I'm going to show you in the Sefer HaChinuch and a beautiful thing about how we see the negative in others, because we have it in ourselves. Okay. All right. Yes, yes. The Torah is the best one. That's it.